In the past week, Pope Francis has captivated many people with some of the words that he has spoken. On March 25th, on the Feast of the Annunciation, when he consecrated Ukraine and Russia to the Immaculate Virgin Mary, at the service of penance and reconciliation that was held at St. Peter's Basilica, he said these words in his homily. We ask the Lord for many things, but how often we forget to ask him for what is most important and what he desires to give us. The Holy Spirit, the power to love. Indeed, without love, what can we offer the world? Without love, says the Pope, what can we offer the world? And Pope Francis is beautiful at creating images. And here's one of these Franciscan images I'm going to share with you now. He says, a Christian without love is like a needle that does not sew. A Christian without love is like a needle that does not sew. It stings, it wounds, and if it fails to sew, weave, or patch, then it is useless. What an image that is. And then yesterday, the culmination of a week of meetings with First Nations, Métis, and Inuit delegations, the Holy Father said these words. I feel sorrow and shame for the role that a number of Catholics, particularly those with educational responsibilities, have had in all these things that wounded you, in the abuses suffered, and in the lack of respect shown for your identity, your culture, and even your spiritual values. All these things are contrary to the gospel of Jesus Christ. For the deplorable conduct of those members of the Catholic Church, I ask God's forgiveness. And I want to say to you with all of my heart, I am very sorry. And I join my brothers, the Canadian bishops, in asking for your pardon. My beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, I believe that these words are expressions of what the Lord is wanting to do in the church in our time. We are to be communities of love, in such a way that the needle of grace is to be mending lives and not tearing them apart. We are to be communities where the needle of grace shows to the first peoples of these lands that we are standing and journeying together. To be a community that mends as we journey together has always been the way of Jesus Christ. Think about today's gospel. It's a striking passage where there is such a profound power differential. On the one hand, you have the Pharisees and the scribes. These are the people within Judaism who have all the power. But think about the passage. Somehow, in a premeditated way, they must have been following this woman, because we're told that they caught her in the very act of adultery. How does that kind of thing happen? Unless there is some sort of manipulation of power. And the thing that's striking about the text as well, where's the guy? Like, what happened to him? I don't know, maybe, and this is just my thought, I haven't read this in any commentary, but maybe he was colluding with the boys and they said, yeah, let's frame this gal. Because at the very heart of what they were wanting to do, they were using this woman as a prop, because they were wanting to set up Jesus. And that's one of the tragic things about religious people. We can at times use the positions that we have to use people as props in order to set up Jesus. What do I mean by they were trying to set Jesus up? Well, here's the issue. They said, so Rabbi, what do we do with this woman? And they thought, aha, we've got Jesus between a rock and a hard place. For you see, here's the problem. If Jesus says, well, let her go, they're going to then say, but you're not following the law of Moses that says a person caught in adultery should be stoned to death. And then if Jesus said, yeah, you should stone her, then the problem would be, well, the only people at that time who could exact capital punishment were the Romans. And if he, Jesus, gave his yes to her stoning, then the Romans could arrest him for having been responsible for a capital death. And this is what's going on here with the religious leaders. They're trying to use their position of power to manipulate. And I think we just need to be honest that there have been too many times in the life of the church where those in positions of power have used them in ways that are manipulative. But here's the remarkable thing about this text. St. John tells us that just as the religious leaders are asking this question of Jesus, that he bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. Now, scholars believe that he was doing the following. He was actually writing Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 1, semicolon, verse 13. And what do we find in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 1? These words. The sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron. The sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron. And then listen to verse 13. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you shall be put to shame. Those who turn away from you shall be written in the earth. Those who turn away from you will be written in the earth. For they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living water. So here's the thing you need to understand. This verse is in the ground. The religious leaders would have known Jeremiah 17, verse 13. And so then when Jesus asks the question, so boys, those of you who are without sin, those of you who aren't in some way implicated in Jeremiah 17, 13, you cast the first stone. And what do the religious leaders do? From the oldest to the youngest, they drop their stones and they walk away. What is also important about this passage, and I'll quote it again, is the last verse of Jeremiah 17, 13 says this, they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living water. What is living water to do? It's to be life-giving. It's to be refreshing. It's to be renewing. And the passage that we're studying here this evening is from chapter 8. One chapter earlier, in chapter 7, verses 37 and 38, Jesus says these words. Let anyone who is thirsty come to me. Who's that? This is the woman caught in adultery. She's thirsty. She needs to be able to come to Jesus. And then he goes on to say, and let anyone who believes in me drink. As the scripture has said, out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water. This is what the church is called to be. We are called to be this community of refreshment, this community of renewal. And there is something about what I think Pope Francis did yesterday and last Friday that embodies this opportunity, this invitation. For there have been things within the life of our church that have been profoundly and deeply troubling. But the beautiful news of the gospel is that Jesus is always ready to say, let's renew our life. Let's renew our identity. Let's rediscover what it is to be the people of God. Listen again to Pope Francis. The content of the faith cannot be transmitted in a way contrary to the faith itself. Jesus taught us to welcome, love, serve, and not judge. It is a frightening thing when, precisely in the name of the faith, counter-witness is rendered to the gospel. That was the problem with the religious leaders. It was a counter-witness to the love of God. And aspects of the church's history are ones that we have to just acknowledge were a counter-witness to the gospel. But my beloved, with all of this said, I want to conclude by saying I believe we have an opportunity that is filled with hope, so that we can grow ever more in being true witnesses of the gospel. It is a hope that the Lord lays out for us as we become ever more a church that is the needle that has the thread of grace. A church that is a community that seeks to mend, that seeks to restore, that seeks to renew. A church that says, I do not condemn you. And a church that also says, together we want to grow in lives of holiness so that we are not continuing to sin, but living more fully in the power of the Holy Spirit. Back on March 25th, in the homily at St. Peter's, the Holy Father also said these beautiful words. We need the wisdom and gentle power of God that is the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Touch us with your love. We need the Spirit of love who dispels hatred, soothes bitterness, extinguishes greed, and rouses us from indifference. We need God's love, for our love is fragile and insufficient. May we be inspired by what we have considered today in this homily, that here at St. Peter's, we will become ever increasingly a community that mends relationships, that we will be a community that may experience more and more what it is to allow for the living water of grace to bring refreshment and healing. And that we will cooperate and work with our bishop and with our diocese and with First Nations communities to allow for a deeper healing and a true reconciliation. For I know that I need to hear Jesus say to me, Jonathan Gibson, the man. Jonathan, I don't condemn you. Go and do not sin again, and try to grow in living a life that knows what it is to be truly forgiven, to be truly loved, so that you may, with my people, take that needle with the thread of grace to be communities of mending and healing. Amen.